True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes. Also, here in about 8 minutes, Drew has his college football thoughts. Curious to see what he makes of week one of the college football, week two, I guess now, of the college football season. It's really week three, all right? I'm getting confused. It's really week three of the college football season already done. Week zero, yeah. One, two.
Well, now I've already lost track. So if they're just saying week two out loud, I don't care anymore.
It was just week two. You could put week zero with week one if you want to, but it's technically week two.
We're heading into week three.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. Got it.
Which, hey, the slate.
Drew's got some thoughts.
Big slate.
We'll be curious to get his
big week three
opinion
slate.
On what
dare
we've
I say
seen.
It's better than what we got on Sundays for this week.
I hope you ask if Clemson stinks, because the answer is
I texted you, Drew. If Sunday Night Football Bills Ravens was a college football game, you would, I mean, I
might as well have been a college football game. 41-40, you got everything. You got mistakes, you got fumbles, you got everything.
But if that was actually a college football game, we would never have heard the end of it. It would have been the best sporting event in world history.
I gotta say, I was asking, I'd sent out a tweet in the middle of the Missouri-Kansas game, and I said, the only thing this thing is missing is a controversy as it relates to a call. Did you see today that they just suspended the crew from that game for the upcoming game? Beautiful.
That was an amazing college football game.
It was a Big 12 crew, and they made multiple mistakes. One was obviously you can't bat the ball in the end zone. There was also an issue with they allowed a free kick instead of a punt. There was like two or three issues. And they don't mess around, man.
So now Kansas fans can be like, oh, the ref crew's up from Missouri. Here we go.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
I want that. I want that for the purposes of the controversy.
They messed up a face mask call early in the game, too.
Nobody's that was blaming the refs for the loss. The batting of the ball should never have happened. That was a terrible non-call. The ref was right there in front of it, and it's not reviewable. But no, that's not.
This is my whole problem with replay. Every time something is painfully obvious and we can all see with our own two eyes, every time it's like, oh, that's not one of the reviewable ones. I'm like, and now I'm looking at microscopic grass, tiny piece of grass, and be like, well, I don't know if that touched or not. So all the stuff you can review, I can't tell. And all the stuff that we all know happens isn't reviewable.
So we'll get to college football in just a couple of minutes. Let's talk about Travis Kelce a little bit, because we only ends up with a touchdown in the season opener on Friday night. And when you saw Worthy go down, you may be thinking, oh, well, this is not only Hollywood Brown, but this is going to lead to way more targets for Travis Kelce. And it just simply did not.
I guess my question is pretty simple. I am fearful as it relates to Travis Kelce. Not that he won't be a productive player or one of the top, I don't know, four most productive tight ends in the NFL, but that his days of being Travis Kelce target monster are dead, because they have now had, due to injury, multiple games, including a half a season last year and the first game of this year, that when the top guy went down, the majority of the targets for a very brief period of time went to Travis Kelce last year until it switched to Xavier Worthy. And in this last game, Xavier Worthy went down and he just started throwing to Hollywood Brown. Travis Kelce was not targeted in that game.
Four targets, two catches. Had the one also near the goal line where he stopped his route. I think a miscommunication with him and Patrick could have been a touchdown. But four targets is all he had.
So four targets for Travis Kelce, a guy who on average at tight end gets a historically high number of them compared. So look, it doesn't have to be better than the number one wide receiver. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. But last year he had 87 targets. Or I'm sorry, last year he had 97 targets. And you're like, oh, that's not very many. He's had seasons where he had 110, 105, 103. 97 is not way below his number. But the idea last year on average, but the idea that wide receivers keep going down, and it seems like his target share is going down with
it. We talked about targets in the offseason,
though,
man.
That part gets very confusing to me. Because this would seem like a logical thing. Xavier Worthy went down. What do you do? I don't know. Target Travis Kelce a ton.
Yeah.
So is he getting covered in a way, and I'll ask Nate Taylor, who joined us at 1, is he getting covered in a way in which the target monster part is just not something they're going to be able to do because teams are just going to test your ability to get it to Hollywood Brown? Or is this just... Yeah. They're not going to target him as much because that's not part of the play.
Well, I thought that's what you guys brought up yesterday. He had a 10% win share on his routes. Like, nobody was getting open, including Travis Kelce, which made what Patrick Mahomes did. The fact that they were in the game was ridiculous because nobody, even Travis Kelce couldn't get open. Like, nobody could get open.
He had the best win rate of anybody on the team, and it was still only 10.8%.
And they still only gave him 4 targets.
I understand you're saying it because of the Worthy injury. Hey, should that have automatically led to more targets? And maybe it will as we get to now week 2. But in the offseason, way back when we were doing, you know, we were kind of guessing what numbers were going to be and all that, I think we thought the targets, or at least some of us on the show, thought the targets were going to go down for him. Now, because of the Worthy injury, I don't think he's going to just get 4 targets on average every game the rest of the season. There will be some games where it ramps up.
7-8 target games, right?
If we're doing the fun game of on pace for after 1 week, he's on pace for 68 targets and 799 yards and 17 touchdowns. That would be the pace.
Would I take that? Maybe.
After 1 week for Travis Kelce. But no, I get what you're saying. I think what will be interesting is, do we think Hollywood Brown is going to consistently lead this team in targets while Worthy and Rice are both out? He had 16 targets.
That's now, part of what
he's still about. And he still didn't have 100 yards, right?
Then I thought he had exactly.
Was it right at 100 or was it just under?
I think it was 10 for 100, wasn't it?
Right at. Okay, so he was right on it. 10 catches, 100 yards, 16 targets.
They rechanged the stats.
What is it now?
It was 10 for 100 when they listed in the game. It's 10 for 99.
Okay, so
close.
He didn't have 100.
It was just funny the way you're talking.
He didn't have 100 yards on 16 targets. That's pretty crazy.
I just think if things are happening near the line of scrimmage and we're dinking and dunking, and I'm just telling you right now, there's no universe for me in which Hollywood Brown, based on their current offense, should get quadruple.
But who's the guy that steps up? Because
the number,
Cody,
of targets over Travis Kelce. That's crazy.
But think about it.
It could be 7-13.
But he wasn't getting open. Like,
neither was Hollywood Brown.
No, but here's the thing. I think it's not just that he's not getting open. It's, if you're a defense, think about it. If I tell you that Rice and Worthy are not on the field, and I've got Kelce, I've got Brown,
and it's third and five,
Thornton, and Juju, where are you devoting most of your attention?
I'm still probably putting on Kelce.
Right, and I think that's what's happening, or happened, so far in week 1 of the season.
We're going to make you beat us with somebody other than Travis Kelce.
Do teams still do that, though? That's what I'm asking. And
didn't
again,
Travis have like 100-plus yards in the second game they played last year? Or the...
Yeah, he had
super long game where he just ran out of gas, I think.
Uh-huh. He ran like 75. He averaged like 75 yards. He had like a game where he had like 50 yards, and he had a game where he had like 90 yards against the Chargers last year.
Yeah, I think they're just over Travis Kelce entirely. Like, we could live anybody else other than
Kelce
him.
Kelce had 1 game over 100 yards last year, and that was against Tampa in overtime. He had 16 targets in that game. He only had double-digit targets last year in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games.
Still, that's a good chunk of the season, so, even with the wide receiver.
So the
I'm just saying, like,
targets,
it's going to be less
the
than
four,
that.
I mean, the 4 targets he had last year, last game would have put him... in line. He had a 3-target game against Cincy last year, and then he had 2 games where he was targeted 4 times. It would have been like the second fewest targets he's had a game in 2 years.
And they had no Xavier Worthy and had to change their game plan that moment. It just feels like, well, we got to change things, and now we're screwed. Just throw it to Kelce. Yeah. Used to be the great glass in case of emergency.
Let's be real. As much as we all agree, he's in great shape, and I still think statistically he's going to end up with a very nice season that'll make him a top 5 tight end in football. We have to still be honest about the situation. He's not the exact same player he was 5 years ago. He's 35. He'll be 36 in next month. Actually, less than a month.
Happy birthday. He's had one before.
To your point, Cody, about the... If they're going to dink and dunk, though, if you were to say, hey, they're going to dink and dunk their way until Rashee Rice gets back. You would expect Travis Kelce to be a big part of the dinking and the dunking that goes on, because obviously he's not going to give you the longer plays. It felt like they even when Xavier was out, it wasn't like they just shut down and didn't try to go deeper, because they had, you know, Tyquan Thorne on a couple of those targets and everything like that. But if you were to tell me they were dinking and dunking for the next couple of weeks, I would be surprised if Travis Kelce kept the pace up of just four catches.
Do you keep this up?
Do you prefer the dinking or the dunking? Which one, Drew?
I prefer dunking. I do too. I love dunking.
I'm more on the dunking. Dunking
is so much fun.
Yeah, the dunking's fine. If they just dunked more than the dinking, they'd be fine.
I mean, honestly,
if they dunked, then
the Chiefs should try one game where they do nothing but throw the ball at least 20 yards down the field and see what happens. We've been doing the opposite for 2 years, and I'm tired of looking at it.
I do think there is a consensus where I think watching that game, as soon as Xavier went out, I could feel just everybody's attitude seemed to be like,
oh, well, yeah.
It just depleted to, not again. Not again.
The text line is mentioning part of my issue over the target stuff is, Travis can't get a target over Jason Brownlee in the red zone.
That was ridiculous. The throw also wasn't good at all. The throw wasn't near him. He didn't even give him a chance.
It goes back to we don't like the fade. I just don't like the fade in the red zone to begin with. That's just personal. I can't stand it. But also, if you're gonna do a fade, I guess he ended up being the fourth or fifth receiver by the end of the game because of injuries. But basically, your seventh wide receiver was who you went to in one of the biggest plays of the game. One of the biggest plays of the game.
Let's see if Jason Brownlee can repeat a preseason catch.
They didn't throw a fade to DeAndre Hopkins all last year, but they threw one to Jason Brownlee this year.
I agree.
I genuinely would love to sit with Andy Reid for 30 minutes. I would promise to only ask him about one play and make him explain it to me. 30 minutes, Andy, I promise I won't ask you about anything else. Nothing. I won't ask you about Mahomes or the running game, any other part of the offense. I need you for 30 minutes to explain to me why the fade in the goal line area is a good play. Because I'll be honest, its success rate as a fan who watches it is 0.0005%.
That's because not all teams, if you have
horrifyingly bad
that was
success
why,
rate.
But that's why you certain guys make it a much higher percentage play. That's why DeAndre Hopkins last year in the red zone, throw him just Patrick Mahomes is a good enough quarterback to give him a ball that's not going to get picked off and for him to go get.
Dude, I wouldn't even throw it to Jamar Chase. I'd rather run a regular ball.
Jamar Chase does the back shoulder throw. Patrick Mahomes is capable of doing that too, but they don't run back shoulder throws.
This is in fairness, it's 2 year. It's a 2 year old stat, so I guess it could have changed in the last 2 years. But this was a few years ago. Just 13.5% of 37 fades were caught for touchdowns in 2019. Compared with 57% completion on flat routes, 42% of slants, 42.5% of out routes.
This article from just 2 years ago, Gold, it also says it is by statistics the least effective play in the passing sense in the NFL. Yeah. It is the least successful. What world are we living in? Where you just tell me we change and adapt and we move things around and now we're just running the least efficient play?
That's because a lot of teams are throwing it up to Jason Brownlee. They're not throwing it up to Deion. There's only maybe five wide receivers who I think increase your. But look, if the Chiefs had the way that they've done things in the red zone, I'm convinced if they had Devontae Adams, they would never run that little back shoulder throw that Aaron Rodgers scored at least half of the time, because they don't do it.
I do think, though, in fairness, and this is one of those, as you said, without sitting down with Andy or Matt Nagy or Mahomes, and Mahomes, I think, will be on the drive this afternoon, but I doubt that Brownlee was the primary option when they called it. I don't think the play was designed for Jason Brownlee. My guess is,
I don't know.
He did throw it quick, but my guess is the first read wasn't there, and he went right there. I doubt they designed... I hope not, at least. I guess is what I'm saying. I hope that was not the primary.
Then that's on Andy and Matt Nagy, and also the throw didn't give Brownlee a chance either, so it was on everybody.
They have Patrick Mahomes, arguably the greatest improv player in NFL history at quarterback. Statistically, broken plays are 13% more efficient in the NFL on the goal line area than a fade route. So...
All right, Drew, each and every Tuesday, we give you a second here to tell us your biggest view and thought of the college football season from the last week and heading into, we've determined, week 3 of the college football season.
Yes, we're going into week 3. And so there's something about this beautiful game of college football that gets you excited and ramped up every single week. And one of those things is upsets. Upsets are a part
of
college
sports.
A good upset is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think this team deserves more credit. That win over Florida was not as much about Florida losing as much as it was about USF winning the game. Are you guys believers in USF the way that I am? Because they have now beat two ranked teams to start the season.
They did beat Boise
They're
State.
Ranked 18th.
They whooped up on Boise
State. They play number 5 Miami on the CW network this weekend, yeah, and right. I will watch the game because I am locked in.
It is the biggest sporting event in CW history.
I'm locked into USF, not just because my sister goes to grad school there, but because the USF Bulls are legit, and they are the heavy favorites now to make the college football playoff from the Group of Five conference.
Are you
guys believers in USF?
Believers in terms of they're going to win and beat Miami.
Them getting to the college football.
They have the best path. Yeah, I mean, they have the best path to be the Group of Five representative.
They're still playing before reruns of One Tree
Now,
Hill.
Now, South Florida, you know, who else they basically after this, their toughest game is what, Memphis?
Yeah. The American Conference, I think, is a fascinating. If you are a college football junkie, you should watch the American Conference this year because the Group of Five team is coming out of there, whether it's Memphis, USF, UTSA.
I'll be honest, though, Drew. I couldn't name you a single player on South Florida.
Yeah, I didn't have any expectations.
Byron Brown is the name you need to know.
Cody, do you know anybody
Byron Brown.
On that team?
Byron Brown is the name you need to know. Also, head coach Alex Golish is probably going to be the guy.
Alex Golish. I was like, I don't coach.
He is a ginger.
You say unfortunately?
Well, no. For you, there's a comparison.
He goes unfortunately.
Unfortunately, he's a ginger. We're all against them.
I did not say that.
Whoa, relax, man.
But, no, Alex Golish is going to be the hot name. He's going to be hired this year or after this season by a Power 5 team. Who knows? It could actually be the Florida team that he just beat. So we're doing this believer like type of segment.
Actually, I like that. Now, they have a player named Chaz Nimrod.
Yes, a good wide receiver, by the way. Very good wide
Dual-threat
receiver.
Quarterbacks always play in college football, he can run.
They throttled Boise State and beat Florida in the Swamp. I think they have a chance to actually compete with Miami. I forget what the spread is. I think it's like 10.5, which I would think USF to cover. Missouri,
to USF.
Sorry, Gold, if you don't want to answer this, then you don't have to. Are you believers in the Missouri Tigers to make the college football playoff? I think the way that we saw them play, if they put that together for the rest of the season, they will be in the college football playoff.
I can answer the question. Look, I will say this. I think their defense still, they should be very concerned about their defense.
Considering how good it was last year. Yeah.
But we talked about the schedule. The schedule is very similar to last year. They still don't go on the road for another like 3 weeks, right? They don't go on the road until Auburn.
Week 8. It's like 5 weeks.
But they're going to have South Carolina at home.
That's the game. That's the game to
next
watch.
Week?
They play Louisiana this week, and then they got South Carolina. The question with what we saw from Prabula, do we believe that now the ceiling is raised for Missouri? I think offensively it is. My question would be their defense.
I will answer the question is, if you made me guess right now, does Missouri make the college football playoff? I'd say no. If they beat South Carolina, my answer is yes. Because that's one of many ranked teams they have after that. We're talking about their schedule, but they still have ranked Alabama, ranked Auburn, ranked A&M, Oklahoma, who looks much tougher on the road than maybe people were thinking going into the year based on their start too, Drew. So, like, if they beat South Carolina and they beat Sellers even at home, then I'll think they're a college football playoff team. But until they beat a team like that, I'd say no. I still think they're like an 8-9 win team, you want me to guess.
I think that's fair. I will say with 9 wins, who's to say with how chaotic things could get in the playoff conversation? Who knows?
If this was the 16-team field, they'd be, you know, all the way, right?
Yeah. A 9-3 SEC team, I think they would absolutely be in. I mean, if Missouri's 10-2, I think you can basically lock them into the playoff. If they're 10-2, I think they're right there.
All right. That is a little look at college football. I was not expecting South Florida. I was not expecting South Florida to get the headline.
They were the number one story
Someone
of
said
the week.
USF, Drew's 47th team.
Well, I root for them because my sister goes there for grad school.
Now background on it. I knew there was something there.
But no, in all seriousness, though, Boise State got obliterated by USF, and then they beat them in the SWAT. They got 2 ranked wins. If Alabama had 2 weak wins, they would not be 18th. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
I think more respect's got to be put on USF's name.
Somebody said you must have hated Andy Dalton based on your red hair take.
No, I think
anti-Andy Dalton?
No, I am not.
We're going to get that saved.
I'm not anti-ginger. I think I'm not anti.
We're gonna get the drop save. You play it back because it's pretty funny. I'm pretty sure you said Well, unfortunately, he's a ginger. I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
Unfortunately, no, because you said Alex Gold, and I said, no, Alex Goldish. And then I said, unfortunately for you, he's a ginger, okay, because Gold is not a ginger. He's got brown hair.
That's right. All right. Don't forget, by the way, we're out and about this week. Coming up on Thursday, we're going to be at Rally House Barry Woods Crossing. So if you're looking for the best Chiefs gear in town, look no further than Rally House. They have the most, frankly, outrageous selection of Chiefs merchandise in town. The best part, you can shop in-store or online. Check out Rally House locations throughout the KC area. Stores, of course, in North KC, Lenexa, The Plaza, P&L, Independence, Overland Park, and more. Find your local Rally House at rallyhouse.com. So, yeah, I hope to see you guys Thursday at Barry Woods Crossing's Rally House.
And then on Friday, we're going to be at Community America Credit Union, up off Skyview, 9060 Northwest Skyview in Kansas City North. So if you're looking like right off of 29 and 152 on that end, free food to the first 100 people. You can take photos with Chiefs cheerleaders and Casey Wolf. You can get an energizing performance, I am told, from the Chiefs Rumble. Plus, you can score some Chiefs gear from Community America's Big ATM. You might remember the last time they got a pull big handle, give you a chance to win some gear. And they'll be giving away tickets to an upcoming Chiefs home game against the Eagles this weekend. So if you're saying, man, I don't have my tickets against the Eagles this weekend, I want a chance to do it, come see us out at Community America off of Northwest Skyview Avenue this Friday. So Thursday, we'll be at Rally House. Friday, we'll be at Community America. Good and Gold out on the town.
Yeah, hope to see you guys. We ran out of time to get to Trash of the Day. Maybe we'll sneak a Trash of the Day in the end of the Chiefs Red Half Hour. The Trash of the Day was involving one of those, like, did you ever buy one of those Jeeps for your kids? Like, you know, those, like, those mini cars for your kids?
I was gifted. I was I had a hand-me-down one for my kids.
That's what that's what the Trash of the Day was about. Okay. A man was arrested while driving one of those. So
what?
We don't have enough time to explain the whole story. We'll have to get to that. It may be at the end of the Trash of the Day, Red Half Hour. We'll see. But yes, it involved a man in Canada driving a Barbie Jeep through traffic.
Nice.
Let's go through traffic.
Yeah. Up next, though, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about potentially where the Chiefs could be playing next year. There's a report from overseas, and then we get right back into a name that's been coming up quite a bit to help out the wide receiver.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Receiver room.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
We'll get back into the wide receiver room in about 6 minutes or so. We know the Chiefs just got done playing an international game in Brazil, and I get it. I think there's a lot of season ticket holders that are kind of sick of hearing about the international stuff, but it is the reality of where this is trending more and more, and the Chiefs, and eventually every team, I think, are going to be playing international games every single year. The Chiefs and Clark Hunt, they have been very vocal about their desire to be the world's team, and there's obviously a lot of good reasons to do that, and there was a report from the Irish Independent. Do you subscribe?
I do not.
There was a report that the Chiefs have stated their desire to play in Ireland next year. Now, I read and read the quote in the article from one of the Chiefs marketing officers, and it seems more of like, we want to play anywhere internationally, but it was to an audience. Anyway, so basically, speaking in Sao Paulo, the Chiefs traveled, of course, to play the Chargers. Laura Krug, who is the Chiefs' chief marketing officer, explained how Ireland fits in the Chiefs' desire to be the world's team. Who gets to play internationally is really the league's decision as to the schedule every year, but we always have our hand raised to participate. We hope to be chosen to play in Ireland next season.
So they're going to Ireland right after going to
Brazil. That seems to be their target. Now, they'll play anywhere, I feel like, if they were offered somewhere, but it sounds like Ireland is the market that they are going for. Do not be surprised next year if the Chiefs are playing in Ireland.
It's a fun fan trip. More fun, obviously, than I think, depending on the country you want to visit or those. Some are better than others, and as far as like,
I'd rather go to Ireland than Brazil.
Where to visit
trip.
Or those, and so it just kind of depends. I have a real serious question here, and I don't mean this as like a knock at the organization. I understand the marketability, and this goes back to maybe some of the draft stuff. Are we okay with the Chiefs actively hurting their ability to win a football game just because they want to be liked internationally? And I'm not saying it's like a huge percentage. I'm not saying it's costing them a game every year. It is harder to win in the week after this or the week before or going to Brazil, because we said this before, the game would have been easier if it was at Chargers Stadium, not just for the travel, but for the fandom part.
Yeah.
Are we okay with the Chiefs actively hurting their ability, even in a small percentage, to win a football game in order to be more marketable to fans internationally? Because that's what you really have to settle into. Because I think that they're hurting themselves a little.
Couple things, though, with this. The Chargers game was a home game for the Chargers. The Chiefs, that was not a game. That wasn't them, like...
But I still think they hurt their team's chance to win. Home game's even worse,
Yeah, so, like, this was a road one that they just had. Next year would be a home game, if I remember the rotation right.
Yes.
If it was in Ireland.
They usually do when they've got nine home games.
My answer to that, I don't disagree entirely. My only thing would be, we know where the league is going. Everybody's going to be playing international games every single year within the next couple of years. So it's going to be, everybody's going to deal with it. If your argument is like, right now, why are they doing it?
In the meantime, you could give yourself a better chance to win football games. Not doing that.
It is still a business. And, you know, since they started playing these games internationally, the Chiefs have won Super Bowls, plural, including the year they played in Germany, I believe, right?
They played in Germany last year, didn't they? Or wait.
No, 2 years ago they did both. I guess both.
Both,
they
had both. Right? Yeah.
They won a Super Bowl
Munich
against and then they went to one and lost.
Went to this. I'm not saying, again, they're so good. I'm not saying,
but
it's
of
be
course
the thing
it's a business decision. I mean, we all know this is all about business. Duh. That's why the league is playing international games. I mean, if your argument is, hey, they're trying to do it for money. Well, no kidding. I mean, yes.
I know, but like, there is a part of me that's like, hey, when it goes that way and everybody does it, cool. But why are we okay with just accepting a smaller problem? We're making Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, we're making all their jobs harder just for some bucks. And I'm not saying that people don't operate their business like a business sometimes, but it's also like, they'll make plenty of money whether they go to Ireland or not. It's not like it's a failing business if they don't go to Ireland.
That's just like that's a much different discussion. Like the idea of like, they're making enough money already. Why do they want to make more? Like we could talk about that for every business that operates in the world.
Sure. And like I'm not saying that there's not, but that doesn't mean that, like, when it comes, but every business in the world isn't also trying to win a competition, right? So for the sake of like what you're saying, like Walmart might charge me more for my cereal because they want to make more money. Yeah, I got it. Capitalism and et cetera. And every business is about making the most money.
Yep.
Sports are weird. It's not. It's not just we're capitalist and we're about making the most money.
They've done both.
But I know.
They've done both. Like, it's hard to argue that it's hurt them from winning football games. Very hard to argue that right now.
But I also think you understand that, like, it's making it harder. I'm not saying it's cost them games yet. I'm saying it can. And, like, you're taking a chance that you've made their life and job harder by doing it this way. And it is the only business in which you are trying to do two things.
Sure.
Both win and make money. And you have to, at some point, prioritize. Like, for instance, the Chicago White Sox.
They go hand in hand.
The Chicago White Sox try to win and make money. They care more about making money than winning. There are teams that care more about winning than making money. It's a balance.
Baseball way different than the NFL, just the whole nature of the finances for the sport. But yes.
Sure, but I would argue there's some NFL teams who care more about the money end of it than the winning part of it, as in they leave cap on the table. They leave, you know, like they manipulate
Jerry
things
Jones,
in a way. Yeah. Cowboys? And so, like, I'm not saying they can't serve two masters or play both sides. I'm just asking if, like, as part of, they seem to be more than any NFL team because of the world stuff. They're giving up whatever it takes to play international games. They don't care if it messes with the schedule. They don't care what time of year it is, where the country. They don't, like, any of it is on the table just as long as they get to play internationally. I'm just asking if we're willing. I'm not saying it's a massive sacrifice costing them five games a year.
They are striking while the iron is hot. They are doing right now. They have a generational, potentially all-time quarterback with also an all-time head coach. And I think they recognize that they will never have this group and this run probably ever again in our lifetime. And they are going to strike while the iron is hot. That is goes back to the stadium stuff that's going on right now. It goes, I think, to the international stuff. It goes with the Hallmark movies. It goes with the Kingdom documentary on ESPN. All of it. This is their time, and it will be over before we know it. As tough as that is to say, like, we've got like 8 years left of this. Probably. Maybe 10.
And then you think.
And then you're just a team
but
again.
But that's Patrick.
So you take advantage of it.
But that's the same thing. It's like from the winning perspective, forget the marketability. Take advantage of the chance to win. Yeah. You could be America's team by winning the most, which they're already doing.
That's why it's, I get I think if we weren't in Kansas City, I think I would totally be on your side. Like I would agree with the, it's very hard to make the winning losing, like it's hurting argument when they've won as much as they have, Cody. Like I think if I was who is it that gave up two games? The Vikings give up. Like if I was Minnesota and your team hasn't won a playoff game or multiple playoff games in a while, I would argue, well, they are not winning. Why are they doing this? It's hard to argue it's hurting their chance of winning when all they've done is win more than any other franchise in the last 7 years.
But I think in that regard, we're like blind to the fact that it doesn't impact them. Not in the sense that, again, I don't think anybody traveling internationally is affecting their win-loss total by five games.
Yeah.
It's just every part of it is now harder, whether it be the injury part or this or that. Like it's just, it impacts the way you have to operate every day by choosing these. And like, for instance, like someone on the over on YouTube chat says, yeah, hey, I don't have a problem as a season ticket member with the international games. I am against a divisional game to open the season.
I agree.
In another country, which you mentioned before. But that's the thing. That's not enough to stop Clark. It's not that he's probably also not wanting to play a divisional game on the road, but it's not going to, not so much as to not play the international game, right? Not so much to do that, not to play 2 weeks in a row. I'm just saying there's no limit in which it could impact the game as much as possible. Divisional game, on the road, no bye week after it. So this is about as bad as it can get for an international game.
Yeah.
And again, he's like, yep, let's sign up. Let's do it.
So I'm the divisional thing, I've been saying for months that I didn't like the fact that it was a divisional game internationally. The whole bye week thing, that to me is going to sort itself out here very soon.
Yeah,
they're going to go to 18 games and they're going to have everybody playing an international game. You're going to get two bye weeks. They're going to be down to two preseason games. Like that's all coming probably in what, like five, when's the CBA up? 5 years, 6 years, something like that?
Yeah, 2030, 31, something like
so
that.
So that's coming. I get what you're saying right now. It's an interesting conversation. I mean, very clearly that they are all in on the worldwide, we're the world's team type of approach. But thought that article in Ireland was interesting that They believe that that's the site the Chiefs are going for next year. Yeah. We'll see if they get it.
Last thing on this, and then we'll move on back to the wide receiver stuff and maybe some of the names people are tossing around.
Yeah.
Cash gaming over on Twitch. This is part of it. It's like, he's like, I think the travel plus multiple 19-game seasons probably catching up. And look, probably more than 19-game seasons.
Yeah, we've
talked
about that.
Something you want teams to do. But like, yeah, when you couple that with, oh, also we take an international trip every year and every team doesn't. I mean, it could beat you up over time, but also, I get the part. You and I have said this before with the Chiefs. Every time I come on the show and I'm like, what are you doing at wide receiver? I understand that there's a certain amount of, shut up, they win all the time. Like, there's only so much level I can take it. This goes back to the conversation yesterday. It's a good thing you got Mahomes. He covers up all of this. Because you're right. If the Vikings struggle because they have to spend back-to-back weeks in Germany this year after they start well and J.J. McCarthy looks good and going international derails this, then they're going to be like, damn, we don't even play important games enough anyway, and now you're throwing the whole season off by sending us international. Mahomes helps cover a lot of that, which is a good thing. speaking of covering things, I'll take your suggestions. 913-586-7965. What do you want the Chiefs to do at wide receiver? Because I thought about it for a long time last night, and I think we'll ask Nate Taylor at one. As in, if I knew these guys were available, like I know Mecole Hardman's available, you could probably trade for a lower-end wide receiver, depending on the roster. The same level as like getting Tank Bigsby, like the Philadelphia Eagles did this week. So a low-end wide receiver might be available off a team. And then some think Tyreek Hill might be available. I would like to point out, before we mention his name, he had court filings yesterday for accusations of domestic violence from his previous wife, again, who's married to, like, I think a little less than 2 years. Filed in court yesterday, multiple incidents. So that makes him, I would borderline say, untouchable if you are in that situation for all the reasons I mentioned in the early part of the show. But at this point, is it weird to be team stand pat? Like, don't bring in McColl, don't bring anyone. I kind of want to see how the offense looks over the next couple of weeks. I don't think they're going to bury themselves so far deep that they can't make the playoffs. So, like, you know, I'll wait a little bit and see what they got in, how quickly Worthy can come back, what they got in Hollywood. I'll play it out, I guess, a little.
I know we've seen some other moves from other teams after 1 week, but a lot of those are depth moves. Like Tank Bigsby will be the number two running back, for example, with Saquon Barkley, with Will Shipley being hurt. And I wouldn't have mind Tank Bigsby, by the way, actually. As we've talked about the running backs already.
Yeah.
We thought they should have done more in the offseason. However, it is 1 week. I do not think after 1 week you go and start acting like you got to turn over multiple spots on the roster and, oh my gosh. No, you went into the season because you believed in these players. One game, you're not bailing on everybody.
If you're in the middle of a four-peat campaign, you know, I might be saying something different.
You don't bail in on anybody that quickly. You do also know with the wide receiver room that Rashee Rice will be back at some point. We don't know about Worthy. They know, we don't. Is Worthy out for the year? Is he out for 2 weeks? Is he out for 8 weeks? We don't know the answer. That changes this conversation. I think it's something you revisit, and I'm sure we will, this convo in 3-4 weeks. At that point in time, you're further in. You might have a better feel on what teams and who's available and all that. The trade deadline is not till November, I think, right? They pushed it back.
Yeah.
It's like November. So
and that was around the time they got DeAndre Hopkins last year.
Plenty of time to figure that out. I don't believe they're going to make any move, and there really is a move to make currently. And to be honest with you, I'm more concerned about the defense potentially in 6 weeks. Are we going to be saying they need to go trade for secondary help or pass rush help or something? But like offense, let's see this play out for more than a week. We love the NFL. It's great. Everybody has an opinion. If we overreact, it's how this whole thing works. I get it. But we go back and look at week one results last year and performances and the reaction, and some of it you'd go back and laugh at. Remember, the Saints for the first 2 or 3 weeks last year were the number one offense in football. How did that season pan out? My point is just like, let's all take a deep breath. There's a lot that has to be cleaned up. And maybe in 3 or 4 weeks, we're saying, oh, yeah, they better go trade for a corner or something like that or a wide receiver. But I'm not there yet, specifically on the wide receiver room, because I know I'm getting Rice in 5 weeks.
Genuinely, if they signed Mecole Hardman for a 1 year, $1.5 million deal, I'm not going to like lose my mind over it. We joked the second he got cut by the Packers. So how long till Mecole Hardman's a Chief? Yeah. I didn't expect it to be because Xavier Worthy was going to miss some time. But if there was a guy who just seemed like, and someone's like on the text line, it's like, you know, then Thornton doesn't have to worry about kick returns too because you need him to play more wide receiver. The thing is,
Rashard Smith can do that,
though. Yeah. Rashard Smith can do that. He's not getting a bunch
Nico Remigio exists. Like, there's other guys, right?
Yeah. It's not, I'm not even, like, that's how not quick I am to make a move at wide receiver. That I'm not even clamoring or saying, yeah, go get McColl. I'm like, it's fine. You're good. Like, for now,
let's see this play out.
If they're going to make a move, they should not go, period. It doesn't matter. They should not get Mecole Hardman. Get anybody.
Anybody but?
No, it's not. It's nothing against Mecole. It's the idea of just bringing back guys who have previously played. Go and get somebody who will legitimately help.
But that guy doesn't exist unless you trade with another team.
I would be over it if I was a Chiefs fan. I'd be done with it.
Right, I hear you, but there's one. They don't need to. I don't think they need to bring anybody. But also, no real option to bring in after week one of the NFL season. If we're being honest with ourselves, I will say though, you get into the bringing someone else. It's the whole thing with D-Hop last year. He's like, how long does it take for the person to pick up the offense? And we get into that whole conversation again. But let's see also, Jalen Royals, is he going to be back in 2 weeks? You know, they didn't put him on the short-term IR, so he better be available in like 2 weeks or so, because otherwise you start to get into, well, that was a mistake. Why was he not on the IR kind of thing? So Rice is back in 5 weeks. Royals is a wild card. He's a rookie, but still, in terms of, like, is someone off the street a better option than Jalen Royals right now? if when he's healthy.
Which wide receiver was it on?
I don't know who it is.
Which wide receiver was it on Twitter who was saying?
Oh, Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson, that's right.
Look, yeah, he was practically begging.
Like this happened, I mean, Allen Robinson is 32 years old.
I gotta say, Allen.
I'm sure he would love to come play for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's got a good podcast these days.
Does he?
Yeah.
Never heard it.
But come on now. Come on now.
You don't want to?
Last year he had three
he played
receptions
last year.
And seven targets. I'm good.
Seven? Oh, how many games did he
Not
play?
A single team signed him this offseason, right?
No. I mean, he's a free agent.
Last year he was on like the Giants, and then I think that was it. And I don't know if he played. Maybe three catches, as I said.
Are you?
I'm good.
You teased it. So a random Chiefs Red half hour, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Let's get to it. We'll sneak in a trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right. A little different, but I want to make sure we get to it. I asked you if you bought one of those like power vehicles for your kids ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my kids had one for a little bit. They used to be taken on
I never had
like
one as a kid. I always wanted one, man. That was the one thing.
We were too poor for that.
I always
they
wanted,
were cool.
I wanted one of those Jeeps. Anyway,
yeah, who didn't?
A man was arrested for driving a Barbie Jeep through traffic in Canada. This was in Prince George, British Columbia. He was arrested after driving the child-size pink Barbie Jeep through town wearing wearing aviator sunglasses, cruising down 15th Avenue in a tiny electric car while his friend walked beside him. Quote, he said he got lazy and decided to borrow his roommate's child's toy car instead of walking to get a Slurpee. He wanted a Slurpee, man. Witnesses said he was driving about 3 miles an hour near the curb and appeared to be playing it safe. Police pulled him over. imagine having video. You're driving by and you see this.
And the traffic stop. You got to ask for the body cam footage if you're the
police. Pulled him over after receiving multiple calls and discovered he had a suspended license, was drunk.
Oh, no.
He was charged with DUI and plans to dispute the ticket. Don't get a DUI, period, plain and simple. But getting one while driving a kid-sized pink Barbie Jeep is another level.
Getting a DUI going 3 miles an hour is rough.
Hang on.
I mean, at least he wasn't going to be able to harm anybody driving that Barbie Jeep.
If he was on the sidewalk, could he get a DUI?
That was my question.
He wasn't in the road.
If he was on the sidewalk, I don't know if they...
Motorized
I don't know if give it
vehicle?
To him.
I don't know how that works.
Come on. I can't operate a Barbie Jeep at 3 miles an hour?
The only good thing is here, there was no way he was going to hurt anybody driving the Jeep. Now, he could hurt himself, but he wasn't going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, the fact he was on the road makes it...
That ain't great.
...viable.
I can't believe you got it up to 3 miles an hour. Those things barely, my kids got big enough for the little one they had. If it was both of them in there, I think it was like struggling a little bit. Now, again, it was a hand-me-down for, like, my brother or whatever, but I'm surprised.
The Barbie Jeep, man.
Suspended license. Mm-hmm. By the way, 3 miles an hour, be faster walking.
He was lazy, though. He didn't want to move. He didn't want to move. His friend was walking next to it the whole time. He wanted a Slurpee. He's going to get a Slurpee.
I think it'd be more uncomfortable to be in the Barbie Jeep.
Someone says swap in some DeWalt batteries, make those things go 20 miles an hour.
Now, we're souping up power wheels?
To your
Are there
point,
people
Cody,
doing that?
I think if they were on the sidewalk, they would have never been questioned.
I don't know how that works. I really don't. Now, someone says you can get a DUI on a bicycle. I have no idea.
If I'm in the road, I guess
someone
that makes
sense. Someone said their ex-wife got a DUI on a 10-speed bicycle in California.
I'd be sick. Like, have you explained to you, Goldie, be like, hey, man, I got to do I got to do some crossover. You're like, man, you drove drunk. What a piece of crap you are. And you're like,
yeah.
And I was on the sidewalk on my bike.
Here you go. Sidewalk is DUI, too. I had a guy they knew in college ride a motorized scooter, and he got one on the sidewalk.
Dang. If it's motorized, I actually kind of – if I'm on a bike on a sidewalk.
The motorized part.
Yeah. I mean, I could still hurt someone, I guess.
But on a bicycle, like, aren't I more just hurting myself, not somebody else?
I guess you could still run into someone with your bike. But, I mean –
But if a vehicle, I mean, the bike's
not surviving.
I
didn't realize, and look, I'm not pounding beers riding my bike down the sidewalk, but that just seems like a crazy way to explain that you got a DUI.
Someone says there's a governor on those kid Jeeps. Remove a little screw by the forward reverse switch. It goes way faster.
Oh, what? See, look, my kids are too big now. Too late.
University Police at Arkansas gives DUIs to kids riding home on the scooters.
If those
like
those
bird
lime
scooters, bird scooters.
I mean, those things can zoom a little bit.
Yeah.
You can actually, but like, I'm on my bike. I'm just on my 10 speed. I don't know. There just feels like a difference between motorized and not motorized.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess that implies I could get a DUI for like being on a riding lawnmower pounding.
Well, we've had a trash of the day about that before. We've had a trash of the day about
If
that.
I'm in my own grass, I'm at home.
Well, nobody's going to call and complain if you're just on, if you're actually fine on your own grass. But if you're going through the sidewalk or you're driving in circles over and over in your yard, they might start questioning what's going on.
I don't have. I told you my next mower purchase is going to be one of those robot ones.
That's what you said.
Yep. I'm going to save up whatever. I'm going to wait for them to go down, like TVs or whatever. I'm going to wait till they're cheap.
How much
like
are they running
years.
These days? A
couple grand. Well, between
until
like
the thing decides to do it to do whatever it wants. Excuse me.
Are you describing the plot of Maximum Overdrive? Yes. And it's just like out to get me now.
No. It's not even out to get you. It's
anti-technology and anti-redheads.
It's going to get tired of doing the same loop over and over again. It's going to be, you know what? I'm doing something else, and it's going to drive off somewhere.
That is the trash of the day.
You got to be careful with these robots. You
That's
know?
The trash of the day. And yes, Drew, we were talking about South Florida, and
he is a ginger.
I don't know what he has. I don't know what you have against gingers.
He is a ginger.
Unfortunately, he is a ginger.
Wow. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. And we'll talk more about the backfield and Isaiah Pacheco's usage next.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.